Welcome all. Sorry for the delay. Some of us, the first delay was with other show. Couldn't actually take us here on time. So we said it. Any apologies?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I've received two apologies of the members who are going to arrive late. Ms. Majeke, who attended the basic education, and Ms. Machoba attended the foundation. And then, Machoba, yeah, she went to attend the academic foundation. Ms. Fandomele, she's attended other meetings, she'll be here around 10. And yeah, Ms. Majeke, she will also be here around 11. Thank you.
Are there apologies accepted?
Yes.
The agenda is in front of everybody. Are we expecting these services?
Yes.
Do you have a script?
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
I move for the adoption of the agenda.
Thank you. Second. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chair Jackson, and members, honorable members of the Portfolio Committee for the opportunity. I would like to bring the apology of the Chairperson, who couldn't come, and the CEO. We have allocated ourselves at various, today being the International Women's Day, there are lots of activities, and we want to say happy International Women's Day to everyone. So really would like to appreciate the opportunity to update you on our One Woman, One Hectare of Land campaign. And we are here to update you, to present the topic to you, to seek support for this concept, especially in this era of food security, which is a big challenge internationally. Just as a historical background, we have been driving this campaign, led in particular by Dr. M. Gorkin, Advocate Commissioner Gorkin, for the past 4 years. And we make a few assumptions, just as an introduction, that everyone believes in the equality of women and men as a constitutional imperative, and that we are all looking for strategies to deal with socio-economic issues that face women, and that the issue of feminization of poverty may be resolved by access to land, and that it is also part of creating a just and equal society, and that rural development and land affairs and land are critical in development. And that if there is rural development and people are able to use the land, that will also solve the issue of urbanization that is currently facing South Africa. We have interacted with the Women's Ministry. We have interacted with the Department of Public Works, Rural Development and Land Affairs, the Portfolio Committee on Rural Development and Land Affairs, the civil society organizations, especially women and those who deal with land and land reform. We just want to clarify that for us it's just a campaign that we want other people to take over. We do not implement, we influence policy, and so it's important to just make sure that it's clean. We are also hoping to present to the Portfolio Committee on Agriculture soon. And before I allow Commissioner Mkoukri to then go on with the presentation, when I told a friend we were coming to share on this concept, she said to me, she recalled to me a New Zealand proverb that said, the lamb is a mother that never dies.
Yes.
And I said, oh, what a wonderful, I will share it with colleagues in Parliament. So we have come to talk about this mother that never dies, that feeds children for generations. So I will hand over to Commissioner to then take us through the formal presentation that's before us. Thank you, Honourable Member.
Thank you, Deputy Chair. Chairperson, Honourable Members of this Parliamentary Committee, let me also begin by expressing our gratitude. Chairperson, you will recall that at the meeting for the visit in Limpopo, you made an undertaking that you would convene this meeting. And indeed, you have kept your word that, and I really appreciate that very deeply. Let me immediately move into the presentation. I will try to run through it as quickly as possible so as to allow more time for engagement on the matter. And it is quite important that we are doing it on International Women's Day. That in itself, I think, has special significance. As the Deputy Chairperson has said, the Commission for Gender Equality originated the concept and have been driving it, as you have said, with the then Department for Women and Children and People with Disabilities, as the then was, and now the Women's Ministry in the Presidency. And both CGA and the Ministry cannot implement, as she has made, any program, as their mandate and function is principally to monitor government, departments, and other public sector institutions, as well as the private sector and civil society, in promoting respect for gender equality and the protection, development, and attainment of gender equality in accordance with the Constitution. We are certainly situating the initiative within, you know, the ambit of the Constitution and, of course, other, you know, instruments. Gender equality is buttressed in our Constitution in Section 171, which says the Commission for Gender Equality must promote respect for gender equality and protection, development, and attainment of gender. And the Commission for Gender Equality also in the Act 79, as of course, the promotion of equality, you know, per quota, as well as international and regional instruments, also form the basis of the work of the Commission for Gender Equality in promoting gender equality. And of course, the additional powers elaborate on this particular mandate. And without spending much time, we certainly are anchoring the campaign on the function of lobbying and advocacy among those functions under Section 11, which are monitor, investigate, research, educate. Lobbying and advocacy is the one that we have chosen to anchor the initiative. The international and regional protocols. So in addition to the Constitution and the domestic laws, the UN Convention on the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women (CEDAW) provides as follows in Article 14G. We have access to agricultural credit and loans, marketing facilities, appropriate technology, and equal treatment in land and agrarian reform, as well as in land resettlement schemes. The protocol to the African Charter on Human and People's Rights of Women in Africa, Article 9, on the right to sustainable development, also provides in terms by saying women shall have the right to fully enjoy their right to sustainable development. In this connection, the state parties shall take all appropriate measures to promote women's access to and control over production resources such as land and guarantee their right to property. And D, promote women's access to credit, training, skill development, and extended services at rural and urban levels in order to provide women with a higher quality of life and reduce the level of poverty among women. They continue in the Southern African Development Protocol, which provides also in terms that state bodies shall review all policies and laws that determine access to control of and benefit from productive resources by women in order to end all discrimination against women and girls with regard to water, rights, and property, such as land and tenure thereof, ensure that women have equal access and rights to credit, capital, mortgages, security, and training as men, and ensure that women have access to modern, appropriate, and affordable technology and support services. Former President of Mozambique, Joaquim Chissano, recently made the point, lift up his words, women and girls are Africa's greatest untapped resource, and it is they, not diamonds or oil and minerals, that will be the foundation for solid, sustainable, and equitable progress. Expanding the freedoms, education, and opportunities for women holds the key to kickstarting inclusive economic growth. This is true the world over, and particularly true for Africa. Continues to state, the leaders need to know that the young women and girls are here and they are not a statistic. The leaders need to create time to meet, dialogue, listen, and then act. And in 2011, CGE published a research report on South Africa's gender reform from 2010, period of 10 years. The findings, among other things, were that women constituted only 13% of the total beneficiaries of our own South African land reform program. Similar research in Zimbabwe over the same period found that there as well, no more than 12% were women beneficiaries. In both countries, land reform was not engendered. Communal property associations to this day are predominantly male-dominated. In 2012, CGE adopted the concept one woman, one hectare of land as a campaign. And CGE adopted it on the basis of its mandate, which goes beyond monitoring to include lobbying and advocacy to promote gender equality. Then in women, CGE found its one area where inequality has historical roots all over the world. In the Bible, for example, in Numbers, we read of the daughters of Zelophehad, whose father died, and they were denied the right to inherit their father's land, purely because they were women. They were subsequently reformed because they stood up. The Department of Rural Development has a primary responsibility to take green this happen. And that's the reason we had this meeting with them in October last year. The Department of Corporate Governance and Traditional Affairs, to the extent that large chunks of land in rural areas falls under traditional leaders, could also play a facilitative role in making some of this land available to women in some form of secure tenure for themselves and in an inheritance to their children. The Department of Trade and Industry has a mandate for promoting economic development and has a track record of women economic empowerment. It has vast reservoir of information on business models that could be utilized to this point. The land bank, which in colonial times and under apartheid made it happen for white farmers by channeling state funds through cooperatives, can also make it happen for African women farmers now. Even today, the world over, the relationship between women and land is always via the father or the male sibling in the family, the husband which is married, an uncle, but never directly with the woman. Women constitute 70% of farm labor, yet have a tenuous and precarious relationship to the land. This can change overnight if the state were to have the political will to do it. The land bank was also seen and was enthusiastic as well as the Department of Public Works, and the latter is the custodian of all state lands, the former funding land-related projects. So the basic tenet of the concept one woman, one hectare of land is for the state to allocate a minimum of one hectare of land to the most vulnerable rural women, ready and able to use it. So it's a minimalist approach, not saying that it's a one-size-fits-all, because one woman may need only 1 hectare, another may need, you know, 100 hectares, another 1,000 hectares. So it is just a name, it's just an appellation. It doesn't mean that it necessarily will need to be implemented in this way. Then on us itself, we're not excluding women from poverty and dependence on men, but being assisted to turn their activities into businesses that provide sustainable incomes. The state has a critical role to play to make this happen. There is unlimited potential that can be unleashed by the implementation of this initiative. There is no shortage of women farmers in the field, going by the entries in provincial and national female farmer of the year awards every year. We seem to see that. Civil society in general and women, land advocacy groups like the Rural Women Assembly of Southern Africa in particular, have embraced the concept of one woman, one hectare of land as a demand from government. This demand resonates with women all over the land, because it encapsulates their conditions of subjugation when it comes to land. Naturally, the allocation of land to indigenous women or men in communal land areas has to be approached with caution and circumspection. CG does not advocate in all cases full-blown individual ownership, but some guarantee of land allocation, something more than the permission to occupy, with a guarantee of financial support from the state upon the production of a frame. Otherwise, where feasible, land ownership should be extended to women as individuals or heads of households, and women constitute a majority in our society. Experience from other countries list this as prerequisites for farming. CG is also not married to one woman. It can be called whatever as long as it will extend land rights to women with a safe form of tenure. And of course, CG will monitor and make sure that what has been happening in the past is not repeated under some guise, you know, of allocating land to women. If it is more palatable to call it one household, we say it is not. Zimbabwean farmers have distilled some lessons, those who are doing the work, you know, on the ground. They mention things like money and knowledge are prerequisites for effective and successful farming, training and looking at others and experimenting, having a plan for farming, reinvestment in the investment back in the farm, hard work and living on the farm, and not farming by self-help, as some farmers do. Understanding farming, you know, as well as, and we've seen that when all these are taken into account, there will be a reasonable process of success. Municipalities also have under the activities in communities, which have not been utilized in a transparent manner, let alone to benefit the poorest of the poor, and especially women. Equally, in the rural areas, traditional leaders have under their jurisdiction large stacks of land which have not really benefited women or women-headed households optimally in the past. This presents an opportunity for these structures to redeem and vindicate themselves by stepping up to the plate and make land available to women in a fair, transparent, and equitable manner. The African Union has declared 2015 and, of course, even 2016 is for equality for women, women's rights, and women economic empowerment. The AUC parties, private sector institutions, and civil society commissions are all expected to put their shoulders to the wheel and make it to happen. By way, for example, the initiative is saying, given the tenuous and precarious nature of the relationship between a woman and land, always via these, you know, other, you know, professions, the state should have a role in allocating a minimum of 1 hectare of land, and more to the very poor women in urban, peri-urban, and rural areas. Private institutions may also participate in this by making land available for productive and sustainable use in their own self-enlightened interests. The women can use the 1 hectare for a house and for growing food in a sustainable way and as an inheritance to their children. And in the case of farm workers and farm dwellers, they are one of the most oppressed and exploited sectors of society that could benefit handsomely from the implementation of one household or 1 hectare of land. The state has so far used labor legislation like the Labor Tenants Act and the Extension of Security and Tenure Act, but there have been no reciprocity on the part of farm owners. Instead, they embarked on the casualization of labor as well as externalization of labor through labor brokers, in order to disqualify farm workers and farm dwellers to qualify for any, you know, rights. This, the time is right for government to use its muscle as did the previous government by acquiring land on behalf of farm workers and farm dwellers. And one of the case studies that I will come to shortly actually demonstrates that this is not just a pie in the sky, but something that is feasible. What does research show concerning women and land? Married children whose farmers own land are 33% less likely to be severely underweight. They are safer. Women who own land are up to 8 times less likely to experience domestic violence, but become prosperous. Women with strong property and inheritance rights earn up to 3.8 times more income. They have healthy children in households where women own land are up to 10% likely to be sick. They are also resilient, where women's property and inheritance rights are stronger. Women's individual savings are up to 35% greater. They also are educated. Families where women own more land devote more of their budgets to education. And all this contributes towards a better world. There's a very interesting female farmer in Limpopo in the area known as Kwamba Hele, who is growing in Moringa, maybe it's Matabata. And she is a powerful example. I understand that members of this honorable committee visited that. So it's another, you know, interesting, you know, case study. The initiative has a huge potential for job creation in that as soon as land is allocated, either on ownership lease basis or use basis, members of that community who are unemployed but willing to work will find work for themselves. It will be a black and family inside communities targeting landless and poor communities, principally women with a view to transferring land rights, giving them an inheritance for their children. The initiative has the potential of uplifting community, create a dynamic of vibrancy and social cohesion from the youth to the adult population in that community. The initiative will allow members of the family to acquire knowledge and skills they can pass on to the next generation, something that has really disappeared in the black community over time. The initiative presents opportunities for participation to learn about issues of environmental sustainability and climate change, thus conducting themselves appropriately. Present an opportunity for preferential procurement for those members of communities. A whole new generation of women will be lifted up by their bootstraps to a completely new level. The UN has now adopted the Sustainable Development Goals and Goal 5 on gender equality and empowerment of women and girls. Target 5 under that goal states, undertake reforms to give women equal rights to economic resources, as well as access to ownership and control over land and other forms of property, financial services, inheritance, and natural resources in accordance with national laws. This is a very important target in the promotion of gender equality, especially in the area of historic injustices suffered by women with regard to ownership and control of land and other forms of property. The time is now to take corrective measures, policies, and laws. Introducing one woman, one sort of land in rural areas and communal land restrictions can go a long way towards empowering large numbers of women, even helping replenishing the loss of white commercial farmers producing food for the nation. As long as land allocation is accompanied by state financial assistance and non-financial assistance to enable those allocated access to land to use it profitably, productively, and sustainably. They may use it individually or corporately as a cooperative. The Barbarian judgment in the Land Claims Court has some guidelines for the Land Claims Court. However, these guidelines are also, you know, gender blind. I may also mention that as the Commission for Gender Equality, we are in an effort to introduce a practice note, a practice directive in that court that says judges, when they make judgments, especially on land, need to have gender lens and consider as to how the judgment they are making is going to impact on the lives of women. I happen to sit periodically on the Land Claims Court myself, and I actually believe that, I practice that. With a view to creating a legislative framework for the implementation of the initiative, CGE has taken the step of drafting proposed legislation to safeguard the rights and interests of all the parties involved. From the state whose rights must be protected to the women beneficiaries who may not be overreached to third parties who may become involved in this broad-based empowerment exercise of great magnitude. As soon as the political principles give a nod to the initiative to go ahead, the draft legislation will then be finalized for Parliament to consider and consume it, take it to its logical conclusion. Once again, it will be said something new always comes out of Africa, a new dispensation that will spread throughout the African continent, empowering women in their regions, something that will benefit generations and generations to come. Educating communities and changing attitudes of men, of governments towards women, and their entitlement to the same rights they have enjoyed from time immemorial, will be an ongoing battle. Women must fight together with all the men who love them, those from whose eyes the spirit have fallen. It is only when women are unshackled that humanity will be truly free. On October 28th, the commission, oh sorry.
The commission by you.
No, no. the engagement with the Portfolio Committee of Women, the Provincial Committee on the Rural Development Land Reform is supporting also one coordinator campaign, and already, as the Deputy Chairperson was saying, we are seeing signs of this moving forward. Chairperson, without wasting time, I just wanted to share before I close these two case studies that I hope that you have an impact. One is One Acre Fund. One Acre Fund is a non-profit organization formed by a United States student. U.S. business tends to be the University of Stellenbosch. But this one is supposed to be saying USA student who visited Kenya and could not believe seeing farmers starving, yet they had land. He said that One Acre Fund is an organization to supply small rural farms in East Africa with asset-based financing and agriculture training services to reduce hunger and poverty. Using a market-based approach, One Acre Fund facilitates activities and transactions at various levels of the farm value chain, including seed sourcing and market support. In 2013, farmers who worked with the One Acre Fund realized 180% return on their investment and significantly increased farm income every planted acre. OAF offers small rural farmers an asset-based loan that includes distribution of seeds and fertilizer, which is what they were lacking, financing for farm inputs, training on agricultural techniques, which they did not have before, market facilitation to maximize the cost profits, helping them to sell their goods. And each service bundle is around $180 in value and includes crop insurance to mitigate the risks of drought and disease. The organization has been recognized for its model of financial sustainability. In 2014, it had already approximately 200,000 farmers on its books, helping them, targeting to reach and serve 1 million farmers by 2020. And you can imagine that every farmer has something like five dependents. So effectively, if they support 1 million farmers, they actually help lifting out of poverty 5 million people. Most importantly, around 5% of organizations farmers, they claim, are women, which is great. Since its formation, One Acre Fund has been growing rapidly, employing about 2,000 people. Now, closer to home, only about an hour away from Cape Town, just outside Caledon, in 2006, a white Afrikaner, Kosi van Sais, who is my hero, came across approximately 30 ex-farm workers, farm dwellers, and their destitute family members. They had nowhere to go with their meager belongings on the side of the roads, outside Napier. He took them under his arm and secured land in the municipal communities first, and later helped them to buy their first farm. In less than 10 years, they have become owners of 3 farms now, today. 2 days ago, on the 6th of March 2016, they reached 10 years since the Agricola Trust was established. In their 8th year, 2014, their revenue from farming operations was 7.7 million. And last year, I met him briefly towards the end of the year, there was busy harvesting. He said the 2015 harvest was even greater than the previous year. This is happening only an hour away from Cape Town. Women in the group take care of running the agri dweller guest house, which is also very busy. This committee is invited to visit this miracle that has been unfolding right under our noses on our doorstep, as it were. Finally, Jefferson says that every woman in every village, in every hamlet, in every part of the country who receives the allocation of land will say, "This land you have given me is pleasant land. What a wonderful inheritance." Mm-hmm. This comes from a book that we are all familiar with. Thank you, Jefferson.
Thank you very much. Both of you are going to be taking some
questions.
Yes. And clarity.
Yes.
Can I just add one?
Yes.
just one thing so that we need to acknowledge that the Department of Rural Development has got a concept that they have embraced of one family, one heaven. So I think we should discuss it within that framework, understanding that that's what is on the card. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and also thank you to CGA for the presentation. You know, I just would have liked, because I think we are actually agreeing on this as a portfolio committee. We have agreed this is what you want to do, but I would have liked the presentation to be more on what we agreed on previously. As you said, on page 26, the recent developments, this is what the portfolio committee has recommended. Where are we with these recommendations that we've made? That's what I thought maybe the presentation should have been mostly about. And also, I have an issue with one household. It's like two weeks ago when I was saying that we are saying that the woman is benefiting from a grant that is given to a child. It becomes now one of those again, whereby a woman becomes a, by the way, because we have given a man land, 1 hectare, now she's going to benefit. That's my issue there. Because two weeks ago, we had an argument with the chapter thing where we were saying the woman is benefiting from the grant. She doesn't benefit because she's not given the grant. The grant is not for her, it's for the child. So now we cannot also have the same situation whereby a household, which is, could be a man, who is the head of the house, will be given the land. And then now she has to benefit because the men have been given land. So I would more advocate for more of saying one woman, one head. I think what the CGA came up with, I support that, and I think we should stick to that. Because the household is going to be another one of those programs whereby a woman becomes a by the way. It's like exactly the DTI. The DTI gives money to men and they say, go look for a woman to bring her in into your project. Then she becomes another, by the way, because she's there, and the disabled woman. Oh, you know, it becomes like, and this portfolio committee is not about households or gender. It's about women. We are here to represent women. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Land was always, Honorable Chairperson, was always central to our struggle in this country. And I believe that it is key to the struggle for women's emancipation in this country. But I'm just trying to understand how this thing is going to work, one woman, one hectare. Because as it is, as we are sitting here in this country, the land question has not yet fully been resolved. We just approved some recommendations in the House a week or 2 weeks ago about what the willing buyer, willing seller concept is now just now going to fall away. The commission is saying that they want to. I understand they are not implementing the monitoring, and that's why I want to address this issue. So monitoring, you're not implementing, but you'll basically want to target the rural poor, the most vulnerable. Now, I want when you'll engage with rural development, it should raise the issue with them. That in KwaZulu-Natal, there's the Ngonyama Trust, where most of the land is sitting under the Ngonyama Trust. Now, the rural developers must engage on, must deal with this matter here, because I do not know how you're going to implement this issue here. And it's ironic that on this day, International Women's Day, that on the 8th of March 1986, that one of the people that fought for the return of the land to its rightful owners died in exile. Moses Mabhida died today in 1986 in Mozambique. And it's International Women's Day. So that's the issue that we need to raise with the commission. The second issue, central monetary. Then you'll go back to KwaZulu-Natal again. You'll need to engage the Department of Agriculture in the province. Because government policy in the province is very clear on the issue of one home, one garden. And that is a program that worked very well in the province, one home, one garden. But that program has come to a halt, and no one knows what happened to it. And there is no, the commission will be in a perfect position to actually engage them and ask them what has happened with your program of one home, one garden, because it will feed many, many, many people. I understand the issue of land, how important land is, because I myself, as the son of a former subsistence farmer, female subsistence farmer, not a male subsistence, a female subsistence farmer, son of a female subsistence farmer, I understand the importance and how important land is, that we transfer land to women, and not just 1 hectare, as the commission pointed out, but it's a good start. One hectare, one woman, one hectare. But women is more than 50% of this population, women about 50% of the population is women. Therefore, when we're speaking about land transfer to its rightful owners, the majority of the people that must benefit from land in this country is females. Because females can raise families and communities and a whole nation on land. I've seen it happen in reality during apartheid in my own life. And it's crucial. It's crucial that the commission monitoring agency, the commission must visit provinces. Commission must be very hard on government department when it comes to the issue of land, because we need to transform. We need to, in the next 2-3 years time, we need to radically transform South African society. And the only way we can radically transform society, South African society, is by the issue of land. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry for being a bit late. I enjoyed this presentation. Thank you, Commissioner Gorky. I was also glad to see that you had raised the matter of this good partnership with Mr. Van Staden and others. It's not an isolated one. There are many more. I think when my daughter was social work intern some years ago, she was responsible for actually implementing one of these projects where it was a wine farm where land was then given to the workers and they were given ownership, and they even helped to develop a particular brand of the wine which is now being sold on the MLS. So this is really something which has been very well done. But what we need to make sure of is that there is proper implementation and proper mentoring and proper guidance. It's no good just handing over the hectare and expecting people to get on with the job. In some cases, people still have some knowledge of farming skills. When I grew up as a child in the Transvaal, it was an abundant country. There were millets, there were fruit trees, there was so much that was being produced and was being brought into the towns for sale. So they had a thriving economy. But then somehow things went wrong and farming was no longer the flavor of the month and everybody wanted to go into the city. So I really do recommend what is happening with the idea of transferring land. But we've also got to remember that we've got a great food scarcity shortage. And so one's got to do more than just subsistence farming. If you're going to be able to provide food for the nation, you've got to make sure that there is enough production and that there's going to be a lot of food available, which can be sold commercially as well, so that we don't sit with the situation that we have now, that you've got to import food from other countries. In my first year, when I was still in the NCOP, we did a lot of traveling, and we visited some farm areas that has been handed to women. And there was one farm that I will never forget. It was given to 21 women who were disabled. This did not prosper. By the time we got there, I think there were probably only 10 women who were still involved. But it was such an impractical situation. Enormous land, not just 1 hectare, of what had been a thriving farm. But these ladies were distant from the farm. They didn't have transport. They had to get there by a donkey cart, and they were disabled in the first place. And there wasn't enough mentoring to help them with the agriculture, money to give them the seeds to help them to start producing. So what must go hand in hand with the land transfer is knowledge, mentoring, seeds, and the ability to learn. So we need to go back to agricultural colleges and try and make it important and interesting for young people also to farm, not to think that you're going to find riches in the cities. Communal land is also a problem. The gentleman besides me mentioned the Ngonyama Trust, but I also know that there are many other rural areas where the land is all in the hands of the chief. And that is also not working well. People need individual land ownership. They need title deeds. So that when you have got your little piece of security for which you can go and get finance from a bank, for example. I've been told by people who have to renew their cell phone contracts that if they can't give an address and indicate that they own property, they can't renew the contract, so they've got to go to the chief and go and ask for a paper to be signed. And very often you've got to hand over some money as well. This was up in the northern provinces. I think it was in the Pogo. It was one of our MPs who told me. I'm particularly concerned about widows. And this is something that is part of an old tradition, that widows very frequently lose their land when their husband, all their possessions, their houses, their furniture, whatever, when the husband dies. And I think this is something that we as this committee and all of us as responsible South Africans must make sure that widows also have tenure, that they've got security. We can't have old ladies being kicked out when they are no longer useful. It's those very same old Makulu and Gorgos who've been bringing up the children. So this is a good idea, but we've got to make sure that the safeguards are put in place, that they can be productive, that they're not going to be struggling without implements, and that the knowledge transfer will take place, and land ownership for people important. Thank you.
I'm not going to ask you. Have you tried, I've actually got this question, that we need to break the barriers between us and traditional business. In the sense that, as one of the honorable members has already said, spoken to the issue of Ngonyama Trust, you go to the Eastern Cape, it's the traditional leaders. It's a disease across. People, they want people to remain subject that is the way they actually Namostra and praise. If I am not talking sense, brother, stop me and tell me. It's better to stay in what you're doing. And if you look back, because you've been long in the CGD, there was a program also started by the women. End of the 80s, beginning of the 90s, Umalibomba. And that is how some of our family whose kids had died and some were still outside the country. Such a project. And I still entrench this motion of elderly people can also be part of the co-op. Because even those who Uthandi haven't got more strength to continue with funds, but she can work with the community of the women, and then productivity will go on. Let's just explore those areas as well. And when we were mentioning Zimbabwe, I took it with a pinch of salt. Because I know of women who lost a lot of land because of your country. And then I'll then call Honorable Kamala.
Honorable Trevor, have you now put your hand up? Okay, you'll be after
Kamala. You won't get Kamala from a pen reason. Because she to my daughter.
Mhlambe yona ihlala kanye nesonto. Yet of being a book on Monto 2 years, a friendly note alone. And we also cloud to Maxim Monto also for in Wanti. The Wutta Hammer applied a camera boom person on my evil booty, Quatiwe, Injela, Wutti, who peeled and Pagatin Bulin and Yogan Shonje, usually the phenomenon is an active as was really like in a squash with them then. She will lie up for Umazan and Kaki. I think I even tend to echo. I wish we have a cautious waffle. But I don't tend to echo Yamatas to Indian. Obastina Mandy Tina Sasa was, which she told him, then what is a sponsorizer, then which Matiana Magalenda says, Lenda says, I was, which class, who fell at Lenda says, kind of didn't want to show it to me anyway. Nakona, my abas was about to fool up Ufara. Yes, I'm. So did I then do not try so by witness, yeah. You do not just say that there was a man that has boot on a little girl. Then the embellishment in the lens of Taylor and Woody.
Ungasho ukuthi ilimi seyilwane Mo presentation ya CGE e re land bank e tshwanetse e re sena ba se dira matsatsi a fetileng ke so gona jaanong ga ba tsee so ntate mokotlo o tshwanetse a re botlhe gore naga e tsa jang batho ba bolane re tseng and ga re tsee because bona ba le CGE ba tshwanetse ba re advise so that rona re develope program e re tlo bitsa Land bank. Reba botsa go rena re batla ba etse teng basadi. Okay. And then agriculture ke rata mo presentation ya study case se e bolelang ka gore mo go provide the distribution of food and so on. Mara ga ba bolela ka metsi gore metsi le ona botlhokwa go bjana. So mo metsi ba ira jang because bontsi ba batho ba rona ba dula ko di-reserves and di-reserves o gopole gore mmuso wa kgale o gapeleditse gore batho ba dule go gomileng mo go sa bjalegeng ebile pula e sane so ge re le magoši or batho ko ba dulang ko teng ba bjale re batle re kana ra ba fa dilo tso tsotlhetse mara go sena metsi go le o tshwana le ele le fela so ge re ka lebelela le gore mmuso o na le lende e kanangkang re tlo tseya batho ba le ko di-reserves re ba tseye re ba itse ko government e tlabe e kry-ile le lende ko teng na wa bo so dilo tseo ke dilo tse re sa di tseleng mo presentationeng ga e tlhagelele gore mmuso o na le eng at this point in time and then o re thuse gore re kgone gore re ba botse gore re na land reform re batla gore basadi ba ba so by this time e be le gore le ba file 1 hectare one woman one egg. A ke dumelelane le ntho ya household ke dumelelana le ntho e boletseng ke honorable Mashetse a re household ya chisa o kry-ile gore go na le basadi ba baifo ba ba leng unmarried in that household and ga ba re one household gore family ela e be yona e tsamayang yo jala mara o kry-ile gore ba palelwa go tswelela pele and ba tshwanetse ba re thuse le gore CGE re thuse ka di-urban land gore gore reng mo ke di-urban areas like Gauteng ga ena rural area e ngata mara mo ba re botse gore 1 hectare re tlo ba gapeletsa masepala gore e se batho 1 hectare na because re batla batho ba be le difeme botlhomong or re batla gore batho ba be le dintlo so ba re gaele bona ba re because ka tsebo ya bona e ba na leng yona ba re bontshe gore re tswelele pele bjang so department ya agriculture responsibility ya bona ke eng and responsibility ya land reform ke eng because go bolela ka land reform nako e re ile ra lela oversight ko Eastern Cape na ba bolela le gore bona ba provider di-strategic farmers ba di-strategic farmers fela ke di-mental people ba bona mara rona ga ra kgotsofalela ka mokgwa o di-strategic persons tsela tsa bona tse ba di sebedisang mona gore di thusa batho ba rena ka eng so tso tsotlhe tseo ke raya gore rona re le komiti ena re nida go tswana le a programme re re rona re le members tsa women re batla gore basadi ba thusiwe so ke department and by this time re batla e le gore ba entse ka mokgwa oo so ke nagana gore CGE mothomongwe e re thuse go developa framework eo ba re advise because bona ga ba implement le rona ga re implement and then mara ba kgona gore re bitse land reform e tlemo ba re botse gore ba etsang and then rena re ba botse because ba re boditse last time gore ba etsang mara rona re paleletse ko ba botse gore re batla gore ba etse eng and ba batla gore e be campaign re ka itseya re etsa campaign gore re gapeletse department ya agriculture le ya land reform gore ba etse ntho e rena re batlang gore ba etse ke a leboga chairperson.
I can understand some Urdu, but I'm afraid the other languages are not good.
Okay, I want you to remember everything, sir.
Okay.
Just have to attack yourself.
Can one of you translate into English or
Urdu? No, ma'am. I can't switch to but I'm not sufficient to be able to speak English. That's why there must be a request. Yes, sorry, but there was a request for English in English. No, this is not English and
can you just the main point?
The Honourable Chair would to repeat what she said in English.
Okay. For progress sake, I was saying Lenda Pen and Lendbank being the bank. Alright. I was saying Lendbank being the bank that helps the African to progress and do cooperatives. As it has been suggested in the presentation, it should do the same thing with the women of South Africa, or actually the poorest of the poor, which is the African majority, that it should do the same. But basically, we as the committee, we are women buyers. We must be able to develop programs that demand that the land bank must give us exactly what they did. But they will do a research on our behalf and find out what Land Bank has done previously in support of the African cooperatives. Then, when we call the Land Bank into the committee, we will demand what they used to do. And then the agricultural department, we must know what is it that they supply to the land so that it can be farmed. And we must add today, I think the case study shows that this NGO, I'm not sure if it's an NGO or what, but the fund here that has been supplying people did not include water. And the reserves, as they were structured by apartheid government, there were places that were meant to dump people, not to plow or do anything on that land. So they must give a solution. Are they taking people from those reserves, taking them into where government land is now? If an audit has been done, I'm not sure if the audit has been done by the land reform. So if we are going to take people out of the reserves and take them, give them 1 hectare or one household into the new land that government has, it means that we must push them to a situation where they will also have water as an access, but the water issue is also a problem at this point in time, because it's only white farmers that have those irrigation, what do you call them? They are like from the river, they create a furrow that goes to a certain farm. It only goes to white farms. It's there in Amantra. So are they going to create such things for the African farmers? So that they can always plow on the land. And then all those things, we need CGE to do the research and come up with a package and say, this committee is supposed to make this recommendation, and we're recommending by this time that this number of women must be removed from the reserves into the areas that we are allocating the land and we must be paid to land reform, how it has to be done and by when. The other question was, at this point in time, we also need to find out how much land does government have, or does government, how much land has government recollected back into government coffers, and how much rural and urban, and in the urban land, are we also saying municipalities must give us a 1 hectare for one woman, or are we saying a small land where people can make profit, build a farm or whatever, or a house, I don't know, but we need to be clear, what is it that we are requiring that women must own in urban areas? I mean, taking for an example, housing as an area that is mostly 90% is urbanized, what are we saying about housing, or are we only talking about rural areas? I think I discovered everything. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think I support to what Honorable Chair is talking about, like, you know, how we're going to be able to assist women to actually work on the land itself. But I think as this committee, I don't know what the Chair thinks, can we focus more on saying, let women get the land, because that has been on its own a milestone. It's been 20 years now, we've been talking about the same issue of land, and we haven't actually been able to realize that the dream of actually having people having land. If we could actually focus on that, that should be our core driver for making sure that we have equity, that we give women land. Because I'm actually not sure if we start bringing the DTI, I'm sorry, this is my solution, bringing DTI and bringing all this, if we actually, it's going to be feasible for us to achieve that within this parliament. Can we actually maybe just focus on saying, like, women, just even for equity, not necessarily to say, you know, for agriculture, but just to say women receive land. And also, like, with regards to what she was thinking about DTI, yes, if we get there, is it possible that we could actually have the universities being the custodians of the programs instead of even consultants being the ones that are running the programs, you know, assisting women, to have the universities themselves being the ones that empower women? But if we do get there, but now this, for this parliament, can we just focus on just giving women land? I'm just a bit afraid that if we start incorporating everything, we won't be able to achieve or even one of those.
The one that's just a few minutes. Iyakhulukazi emakhaya iy'nkandane. Ngizonenzela nje isibonelo le emthandeni. Hhayi kusolo sikhala sithi uhulumeni uyahluleka. Khona lapho phela sikhulume khona amaqiniso. Uhulumeni wenzile wayisa i-project lapha. Kwajama izimoba zahlanga kwa-green, bajabula abantu besifazane bonke. Kodwa angabini kule nyondenze yengozi yamathasi, abantu bakhona bangatshelwa kuphela, batshelwa 10% of yasemakhaya. Ma umtshela umuntu 10% jabula apha abe indawo le yayinhle kwatshelwa kwanjeyani. After 5 years
bona ba sayine bebe ngasho ba sayine ba sayine ukuthi le project izokwenziwa only 5 years after 5 years iyahamba ngasho ukuthi abazodlaneki kuyimanje mangehamba uyobheka lapho kukhona khona iy'moba ngaleso sikhathi sokuqothukile amazambane bephuma lapha yangangokuthi bebengaba-organizeli ngisho lento le indlela yemakethe ukuthi athuthwe ahambe base bagayiswa uma-friend mhlawumbe ngu-5 months bemuyenza ibhek uhambe ngendlela ekhona ngayo khuluma kwabetshalo ngoba obhotshisa uvuma yonke into kanjalo nendawo kuthise esinamfini kuyimanje lapha emansomini bewuthi uma ufika khona noma udlula ngemoto ubone ukuthi nawe ugovernment iyasebenza kodwa ngenxa yaleli lengonye ama-trust abantu babenikezwa labo-10% for umhlaba wakho after that yena inkosi imali eningi yona eyaziyo esayine i-agreement ngaye wena wazi lutho wena njengomuntu okhona la imanje labo bantu bonke basele bancenze ithupha inkosi ithathwa ngokuthi lo mhlaba wonke wuwayo bahambile nje abantu ihamba ney'moto ezini omunye nangamusho kuyena yena ofika ntshontshe nakuthile ze-government ahambe elapha ahlangane bese yo-bribe abantu okhohlisa abantu ezinye izinto lezi engizocela ukuthi elinye ilanga azobe ivele emaqinisweni ngoba khona singakhala ngohulumeni ukuthi uhulumeni uyehluleka kodwa inkinga yile nto ukuthi zithi mase yiphuma iy'mali ziyabantu zingabonethu amanzi ayidonswa phansi lanemvuthi injini kwakuyibandi ka-government ezayithutha amanzi phansi amanzi kuyimanje loo nto ayiqothukile lapho lutho becala omadlumi batshala yonkinga enye iproject futhi eyayize nayo lo mnyango ngizothi ikona kodwa ngoba umnyango ka-government eyayithinta bona abantu besifazane isemambedweni lapho obevuma khona amadumbe nobhatata lakwazi kwavela khona ukuthi nayo le mali izosebenza lapho omama bakuloo ndawo balime after that lawo madumbe bazokwenza ngawo amashisi konke lokho futhi because ngenxa yale nto le yengoni yama-trust bafuna bakwenze lokhu lo 5 years after that besekuhlala kanjani ezinye izinto badakwethu ukuthi noba sine likomiti angeke sibe serious ngiyajabula ukubona ushepherdson wethu ukuthi uzimisele ukubona abantu bala e-South Africa bethola lezi zinto hhayi lobu bubi ukuthi bubangwa u-government nangana kuyafuneka ukuthi makukhishwe imali kubonakala and leso yengonye ama-trust ngokwami nje ngiyocela ngoba ngikhumbula ukuthi ungafika kubantu uzothi 5 years banikeza leto uthi ngendawo yakho ujabule ufike unikeza u-10% bayavuma bazuthi athi imali eningi iye enkosini nalowo muntu othize omnamathelela kulezi mali la-government ngiyabonga
In summary, just to summarize what the Honourable Member said, she started off by emphasizing that this issue of land is very problematic. She then emphasized the area, the rural areas, and especially offense. She made an example with an area called Umthandeni, where a project was conducted, sugarcane was planted, it was well looked after, it looked like a project that was progressing. But due to the interference of the Minama Trust Board, this project did not succeed. After 5 years, they were informed that they had signed a 5-year contract, therefore meaning that after 5 years, this project would have to be stopped. This area, there used to be a potato plantation, sugar cane, beans. It was very, very productive, but presently it is redundant. And then she also referred to an area called Manzoning, where also it was a very productive area, and it was also under the Ngonyama Trust Board. And due to the chief's power, the chief assumes that the land is his. Currently, he's driving luxurious cars, and at the moment, this land is redundant once again because they also signed a 5-year contract, which means that after 5 years, this project will come to an end. She then also emphasized that sometimes we complain about government not delivering the services, but you find that there is a budget for this, but the people who are responsible for implementation or implementing this project are the ones who are letting the people down, and then people tend to blame the government for not delivering, but the government does supply a budget, but the people on the ground, the people who are responsible for implementing this project are the ones who are failing to implement them. She also then refers to an area called Emambedwe, which was notorious for patata plantations and madumbe plantations. But upon sweet potatoes in Madumbe, and unfortunately, also because of the interference of the Guanyama transport, they also had signed a 5-year lease. After 5 years, this era was redundant as well. She also emphasized that she's very, very ecstatic and happy to have a chairperson who's shown will, who wants to see women succeed. She then ended off by emphasizing that this issue of the Guanyama transport should be re-looked at because at certain times it is putting women at a disadvantage.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks for the presentation by the Commissioner. Mostly, I also want to agree with the members, with another member, because mostly women in rural areas, they don't have access to it. For the women to get land, even to build one, to get land, even the one for building houses, they must have the men who are representing them, who should be in the forefront for them to get land, size or extent on their behalf. Even for women who are not married but have kids, do not have access to land, they find themselves staying with their extended family forever. So how are we going to help 1 hectare as women? Because this is so difficult. And this is so difficult even for the women to get land. And in other rural areas, the municipalities do not have land, even to build the RTP house, because of the most land belonging to the Guanyama Trust. We should invite the Rural Development and Land Reform Department and the CGE to meet us, so that you can talk about this and look at why it's so difficult for women to have access to land without problems. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. Just in response to what was said by Mama Paola about the projects very often going awry because the people who are supposed to be implementing are not following the due process and procedure, I think this is where greed comes in. The land may have been allocated, but those who are implementing are really not interested in helping other people, but rather helping themselves. So therefore, we need to have more oversight and accountability, if this is possible. But my other question that I wanted to ask was following on from Honorable Nomsa, who said that we should get universities involved in helping to train and empower and uplift. I think universities are very often more academic in their approach. I think what we need are agricultural colleges, and I'd just like to know, are there any agricultural colleges that have been built recently that are going to train young people into becoming prosperous farmers, knowing what the good way to farm is that is actually going to provide food in abundance? Thank you.
In response to one of the questions raised by Honorable Robinson, agriculture is now part of the school curriculum. They actually refer to it as eco. And those kids can actually take that part right up to varsity. The agricultural colleges that were closed, it's a known thing, they were closed down because there was lack of interest. The youth of that time were saying it's a dirty job. And it's not, even today, it's not every child who's interested in agriculture. But they have been driven and they are working.
Thank you so much, Chairperson, for the reflections we have had and the questions we have been asked and the mandate we have been given to keep pursuing this matter. We just want to make a few comments, and Commissioner Bokum will make further comments. The first one is that this is a multi-government approach to the matter. But when we were thinking about it, we were saying rural development and land affairs will be the first point of call. That's on the issue of developing policy around this, because they are the ones who are dealing with allocation of land and so on, and everything related to that. So that's why we are keeping our relationship with them stronger, and we are very pleased that the portfolio committee is also putting on record that they probably asked them to come so that we can hear further what their plans are. Because for them, while we're putting it on the table, the issue of one family and one household, then maybe the question to be asked to them is, what do you mean by that? How are women going to benefit from that? Because for us, the interest is that women must benefit and be protected within this policy framework that they are developing, because the concept, I think they took the concept and decided to make it broader. So the question to be asked, and we asked even with them, and we said we'll have a follow-up meeting, how will this benefit women in specific we also agree that we should probably engage with Ngonyama Trust, but it's not just Ngonyama Trust. I think the House of Traditional Leaders should also be engaged. Recently, we heard that the House of Traditional Leaders are looking at all the laws of the country vis-a-vis customary law to see to what extent those laws infringe the Constitution. I think they are ready to be engaged. Of course, the rights of traditional communities, the rights of traditional leaders are in the Constitution, so we can't eradicate traditional leaders. But it's just to synergize practices within the Constitution. It is true that women get a raw deal in customary and traditional practices that go outside of the Constitution, because all of us know that the example is inheritance law. It is true that inheritance law now makes it very clear there are cases, constitutional cases, that the CGE makes sure lead the way. But in practice out there, Honorable Kaula and Honorable Members, practice out there is that women still get a role in families. Mm-hmm. So the question is, how do we ensure that there is a law that protects women in terms of inheritance? How do we tighten up the law? So I think we should all work together to look at which laws should we tighten to make sure that when a male dies, and when there is inheritance, then women and men benefit equally, because in practice it doesn't work like that. So it needs a further discussion. Cooperatives and access to markets and funding. Most case studies done of success of agriculture is around the issue of ensuring that people have markets and funding, and they don't have to bother. If I plant my millet and then someone is going to get my millet and put it in a bigger pool of people with expertise and take it to the market, I don't have to bother about the market. That's the root of cooperatives. It has started on a small scale, but I think what we are saying is that every woman also was able to benefit from this, having land, and she is able to use the land to feed her children, but also use the land to get money to be able to do other things. That would be very useful. On the disability, indeed, this week the white paper on disability is being launched, and all government departments will be asked to mainstream now disability.
in a legal way. It's no longer a matter of I want to, I don't want to, I don't understand. It is now going to be an imperative of all government departments, all the policies and pieces of legislation to ensure that a mainstream disability. Ours is to serve the concept and others are to implement, and ours is to make sure we just keep pushing. And so I think we are all in the same space where we don't implement, so we have to really push the implementers to be accountable. I think I can go that far and ask my colleague to end.
Thank you, Deputy. Chairperson, I think you know, the question of land is, I think we never spoken before ourselves around this question. It's an area of contestation, because land is power.
Mm-hmm.
And power is not something that is given away.
Mm-hmm.
Power is fought for and earned. And so, I like the point you're making, Chairperson, when you're saying that the institution of cooperatives, it must be centralized. Because cooperatives represent organized people.
Mm-hmm.
Organized people have got power. And I would want to suggest actually that it is a good thing that we are engaging in this. That there's even for further elaboration that looks, for example, like the rural women's movement in KZN, led by a very formidable woman who I admire so much, Susan Mubani, has been able to make some strides. I believe that rural women's movement in KZN has managed to secure land from Ngonyama Trust. They would never have been able to do so if they had gone, if it was individuals. But because they are a group that is known, Ngonyama Trust, they've been able to secure that amount of land in their agricultural project, just outside my respect. So it would be, I think, instructive for this community to invite a group like that to come.
Mm-hmm.
Because also you get the grassroots perspective on what women on the ground say on this matter, even before you contemplate legislation.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you draft it, when you contemplate the legislation, putting it together,
mm-hmm.
you then have to build in the kinds of issues that will be seen. They are confronted with. So as to build within that legislation safeguards that will protect those the rights of the women.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there will be women who would want to use land individually. They have the rights in the constitution to do so.
Mm-hmm.
But because this is an area of contestation, it's going to be more strategic for them to be in groups and use the group power
mm-hmm.
to advance their cause.
Mm-hmm.
Could not agree more with the points made by the Honorable Provincial. I think every point that we made is really something that we should be taken into consideration and into account and factored in. And the point I think is that, clearly we see these examples of islands of success. But I think we want to work towards a situation where they are not just isolated, cases of success, but they become a sea, an ocean
mm-hmm.
of success.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The example of the Agrivala, in Caledon, we would want to see as many, imagine if we have 1,000
mm-hmm.
white farmers
mm-hmm.
doing white courses and training mm-hmm. for women.
Mm-hmm.
It would change lives in a very big way. And it is very, the Honorable Member was saying that, even the example of house gardens. I think the point made by MP Machetsi about prioritizing the focus on allocation of land
first,
I think it is a point well made. Because I think, because patriarchy is really the major hurdle.
Mm.
So you must first cross the hurdle of an acceptance that it is actually a proper thing to allocate land to women. Because also our constitution, I mean, guarantees this. It's not that because I think the change, for example, I haven't heard the Royal Group saying this, and I think we must be careful about assuming that the reason that they are changing one woman to one household is because they are avoiding like perhaps conflict with their traditional leaders. It may be the case, but I think they must be given opportunity. They must be asked, and for them to present that. Yeah, they must be said in social recording. To explain it, there must first be the crossing of this hiatus. I think the proper thing that we, because it's a reversal of the discrimination that has happened in the past. And our constitution makes provision for positive discrimination in respect of people who have previously been disadvantaged. Yeah. So it would be nothing, it wouldn't be like why discrimination is men, you know? It is pretty proper that women should actually be the focus of this allocation of land. And once land is allocated, I think there's so many examples and models of them using the land. I mean, all over Africa, actually, there's so many examples. But the first hurdle is to bring men to a point. It's like you're mad to some men when you have to say that women must be allocated land. There is something wrong in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a real man.
Mm-hmm.
So that hurdle, that's patriarchy, that hurdle must first be overcome.
Mm-hmm.
And then the models, you know, business models of how to work on it, I mean, I think are plenty. You know, they can come. It is very encouraging for us because this portfolio committee, this parliamentary portfolio committee, is so important in making sure that this matter moves forward.
Mm-hmm.
This matter stands or falls by the extent of this committee's determination to see it happen.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't happen here, it will not happen anymore. So it's very encouraging to find the support, and I think we will certainly continue to rely on this committee. And make sure that the other groundwork that still needs to be done is done. But I think, as the point has been made already, that it will be important to hear the rural development, agriculture, and other government departments. But also, I think, hearing from groups like Rural Women's Movement, the Rural Women's Assembly, which is even broader than Rural Women's Movement, would give this committee a perspective of what women on the ground actually saying the matter, preparing for the legislation that will follow to enter the project. I will also, the point made about, I think, about what done by the land bank, you know, in the past. You know, there is, I will make the report available. There's a report that was, a research report written by Professor Fesser and another person on, they were commissioned actually by the Human Rights Foundation, of which my deputy chair is the chair of the Foundation for Human Rights, a report on farm workers and farm dwellers. And in that report there is a chapter that traces the establishment of the land bank in 1912 up and opposite land bank and the way it operated with channeling state funds to cooperatives to white farmers up until 1994. And of course at that time those cooperatives applied to convert those cooperatives into private companies. And effectively state public funds were privatized.
Yes.
Effectively. That's what happened. And that is an investment of public funds over a period of 82 years, from 1994 to 1994, from 1994 to a period of 82 years. So that report, I think, is very important for this committee, even having regard that it is dealing with this problem, so that I will send it to Nelly. Yes. Yes. Chairperson, I think those are the comments I want to
Thanks very much for the input, the discussions and questions that were. What should you do with
your
not
Buzza, but just a comment. There is a comment that she made that the disability law, which is coming in now, is going to close all the loopholes. And I'm saying the same way that disability is going to close and compel each and every department to implement that. We must use it the same way we're going to say women must benefit exactly the same way.
Yeah.
So you must give us that so that we also tighten that each and every department really empowers women, that they are compelled and they can't get away with it. So let us use that opportunity. So it's good that you raised it in the meeting now. It's very, very important. Yeah. Thank you very much. Right the way.
Where was her son cows? I'm sitting very
well.
Come to the
Ukraine.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm a child. No, then it's going to be a good thing. You must go to.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I'm a child.
English, which is the universal language.
Mom,
come on, English is very good.
Kodwa uyazi ukuthi singiyimsi siyaxova, sikhova, sikhoveke nesizulu.
So manje kukhulu into engizoyichaza lengizoba
uthawula
iyalo
kazile
What
patriarchy? I explained what you have just said about the centers for agriculture. There's been reason because most children now are taking their course. It's the eco program and it's across the country. I didn't want to say this, but I've got a nephew who is now doing engineering in agriculture. Because we want farmers, we have no food. And we are running away from this thing of the generation that says it's a dirty job. We as the pillars of the nation and the pillars of the land and the fighters for and with the leading is the liberation of our people. I then plead with each and every woman here, irrespective of creed or color, to join this group, this queue to the liberation of our rural and impoverished women. Encourage our younger generations to ensure that even if it's a tough walk, let's not look back. Let's move forward. Interesting.
Thank you.